Let's pray for the Lord to bless what we're going to do now. Lord, be with us as we get into your word and study your word, Lord. You gave it for us to be lifted up, to be drawn closer to you, Lord. Let it do that today, Lord. Let your word draw us close to you. We know we're in you. We know you're in us, Lord. We know those scriptures. Help us, Lord, to live it. Help us, Lord, to be an example of it. Help us to trust you in all situations that your good is going to prevail. Your good for us is going to prevail. We believe it, Lord. We shout it from the rooftops that God is good. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, to put his seal of approval on that statement. Thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Now, you can be turning to, first of all, the book of Philippians in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read some verses to you from Isaiah chapter 45. So you're going to Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading from Isaiah 45:19. We're going to draw these two passages together today and see what God has to say to us. Isaiah chapter 45, starting with verse 22, says, "Look to me and be saved." This is God speaking. He's the one speaking here. Isaiah is merely recording his words. So he says, "Look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth." That means everybody in the earth. "For I am God." Let there be no doubt. God proclaims himself, "I am God. And there is no other." There is no other God. There is no other God, creator, sustainer, redeemer, supplier. There's no other God like God. "Look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, there is no other. I have sworn by myself." Why would he swear by himself? There's no greater. There's no one greater that he can swear by. So he uses himself to seal his oath. "I swear by myself. The word has gone out." Whose word? His word has gone out, and out of his mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. That means we'll confess. We'll proclaim that God is who he said he was, the saving, redeemer, creating God that loves us and drew us close to him through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. That's Isaiah 45, 22 and 23. God declares himself as the only true God. Now, how do we know that? He even gave an example through his son, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. What other God has appeared in life on this planet? Is there another one you can name? No, only Jesus Christ, who is God. Being the Son of God, he is God. He came. He showed us his reality. He lived among us. Gave his life for us that we could have faith in him. Do you have faith in him? Are you showing that faith in him? How are you showing it? You don't have to answer. Just think about it. Just think about it. How are you showing it? God wants us to show it. We are his testimony on earth. Just like he came to prove who he was, we are here to prove who he is. Because he's not the God of the past. He's the God of here and now. And the God of the future. We have a future to look forward to in Jesus Christ. and the Godhead. Amen? Amen. All right, now I'm going to go to the Philippians chapter 2. In the New Testament, you're already there, I hope. Well, it's verses 8 through 11. Thank you. And Scripture here is speaking of Jesus, and it tells us this. And being found in appearance as a man, Christ humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, amen, and those of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Can you say it with me? Jesus is Lord. Yes, He is. Live by that. Jesus is Lord. When things start to get you down, no, you say, Jesus is Lord. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws against you. Jesus is Lord. He has won the victory for us. We do not need to fear anything this world or the current head of this world can throw at us, because Jesus is Lord, and He has provided for us for eternity. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now, I want you to go back. Go back to Isaiah 45. Yeah, back to Isaiah 45. And we're going to look again at verse 22 and 23, where the phrase, every knee shall bow, is first used in Scripture. This is where it was first used, Isaiah 45, verses 22 and 23. I guess I could have told you to keep your finger in that spot, huh? Scripture. In chapters 40 through 66 of Isaiah, in that book, chapter 40 through 66, God prophesies through Isaiah via the Holy Spirit of the coming comfort to His people Israel. They've been suffering. At the writing of this book, they were in captivity in a foreign country. They had disobeyed God, and they were paying the price. He had taken them out of their comfort in their homeland, where He was lifting them up. And they are in exile in Babylon, a foreign country. They're in exile for their unfaithfulness. Yes, they were not faithful to God. Had they taken an oath? Yes, they had taken an oath. Down at the foot of the mountain, when they were coming out of Exodus, God gave them the Ten Commandments, and He said to them, "Will you keep these?" What did they say? "We will!" They proclaimed it nice and loud. And what did they do? In a very short time, a matter of hours, they had forsaken that oath already. So, they are in Babylon for their unfaithfulness to their covenant, their agreement of faithful trust in God alone, which they have broken. You know, that's what God wants us to do. Trust Him alone. It doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter what's besetting you. If you trust God alone, what does He say He'll do? He'll bring you through it. Trust in Me, I'll bring you through it. Is God good for His Word?
Yes.
I believe He is. So far, all the examples we have in Scripture would say, yes, He is a God who keeps His Word. God is faithful. He gives His people Israel hope with the words of verses 22 and 23. I'm going to read it again. Look to Me. This is God speaking. Look to Me. I know you're in exile. I know they're making you do things that you know you shouldn't be doing. That's okay. You keep looking to Me and I'll bring you through it. Look to Me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. How many other gods were there in Babylon? We don't even know. They had a God for everything. But we only need one God, because He is God of everything. He can take care of every single thing. Trust Him. And He says further, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. What is He saying? You can believe what I'm saying. I am God. Go ahead and take the oath and live for me. Amen? Every tongue shall declare it. The main message of the overall passage in Isaiah is that God is the only God who can save people. He's the only Savior. That's it. Don't turn to anyone or anything else. He's the only one that can save.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah. There is nothing else and no one else that can offer us and secure our salvation. The God of the Bible is the only true God. And I might say, the one and only true God. Amen?
Amen?
There is no other. There is no other. Isaiah 45:22 declares it. Look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Is God truthful? Does He tell the truth? Can you believe God? Believe Him on that. He is God and there is no other. Those who turn to Jesus Christ, the living God. He's not just a God. Oh, you know, people had gods. They could pick them up and hold them in their hands. They could move them around the house. They could go out and worship a stone statue or a piece of wood and call that God. That's not our God. Our God is a living God. You know, I believe that's one reason why Jesus had to come into the world. To prove, that's God proving to the people of earth that He is a living God.
Amen.
Here He is, Jesus Christ, alive, walking on the earth, talking, telling people how to get saved, going to the cross and securing that salvation for them. That is our God, alive and well. He's gone to glory. He's there now.
Amen.
And He's praying and He's on your side. So it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us, He can catch it and put it in the dumpster. His dumpster. We can't get into that. Those who trust anything else instead of Christ will be lost. Hey, it's just that plain and simple. We don't have to debate it. We don't have to talk to other people about it. God said it. If you're not trusting in me, you're going to be lost. You want to be saved? You want to spend the eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you must trust in Jesus, in what He did for you at Calvary. Sacrificed His body, shed His blood, and then what did He do 3 days later?
Rose again!
He proved that what He was saying was real, that He has control over all things. He's King of all things, including death. Yes, He controls death. So, when we seek to find identity and security in something besides God, we're going to be lost. Don't trust in anything except God. Jesus Christ is God. So, don't be confused. Is God God or is Jesus God? They're both God. God the Father is God. God the Son is God. And guess what? God in you, the Holy Spirit, is also God. Are you humbling yourself to Him? Are you following His directions? Do you want the best life you could ever live? That's how you get it. You humble yourself to the Holy Spirit. Well, what's He going to tell you? He's going to tell you this. So it's imperative that you get into the Scripture and read and learn, commit it to your heart and your mind. Because that's what He's going to use to guide you and give you the best life you ever could have. Amen? Doesn't matter what or who it is, when we value anything more than our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it will become an idol to you. It'll become an idol to you. It'll push Jesus off of your God throne. And you'll have to make that up with Him. You'll have to go back to Him. Well, what if you don't go back to Him? It won't be a good outcome. So don't let idols push you off the throne. Don't let anything get between you and God. Amen? The bottom line is that those who call on the name of the Lord will be
saved.
Yes, and that's the only way. You can call on the name of anything else. Won't do you a bit of good. But when you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Those trusting in other things, no matter what it is or who it is, will not be saved. It's just that simple. It's Jesus or you're out. It's just that simple. In the book of Romans, Paul writes about Christian liberty. Because we do have liberty. We do have to make some decisions in life. And Paul writes about it. Believers are to love one another and not to pass judgment on their brothers or sisters in Christ over non-essential issues. We know about things that are essential, right? We've heard a lot about something being essential. But what is the most essential thing in your life is that you stick to the love of Christ. You follow His commandments. Can you follow all His commandments?
No.
All two of them? Yeah, He wrapped them all up into two. Because He knows us. He knows us. So He says, I think maybe they can handle two. You know the first one? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. That means love Him with everything you are and want to be. Be that in Christ. And He'll use you, right? And then what's the second commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you want to be loved? Do you want to be left out, turned away? Not thought about, not prayed for. No, of course not. You want people to like you. You want people to help you. You want people to pray for you, assist you, right? That's what we should be doing for one another. Building each other up. Building each other up. That's what God wants. You think you could do those two things? Love God with everything you are and love your neighbors yourself? Try it. Try it. But listen, if you've called on the name of Jesus to be saved, He's not going to kick you out of the family if you fail. No. You know what He'll do? He'll say, come here. Get real close. Get real close. Listen, I forgive you for the failure. Are you sorry for it? And you say, oh yeah. And He forgives you. And He strengthens you to go forward. That's the way our God is. He's a God of love and mercy and grace. And He wants to build you up and move you forward in Him. He wants you to be an example and a testimony for Him. That's why He does those things. His reputation depends on you. Will you help Him? Will you be faithful? Will you do your best to do what He wants and live the way He wants you to live? You see, that's the commitment you have to make. That's the commitment. I will live for Christ. Why will you live for Christ? Because He died for me. He died for me. He didn't have to do that. But He did. I don't have to live for Christ. But I'm trying as best I can. Because He died for me. Amen? There's the basis of the whole matter. Okay, so there are some things that are non-essential. The examples given in Romans are dietary habits or religious days of observance. Christ gives us liberty in those matters. We don't have to watch every little thing we eat, whether it's a sin or not. We don't have to watch that. We don't have to celebrate certain holy days or else we're going to be in sin. No, we don't have to do that. We have liberty in Christ because He's done all those things for us, and we can choose not to do it. Romans 14:5 says, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Are you at peace with the things you celebrate with God? Then you're okay. But if you have any doubt in it, get rid of it. Trust God alone. In things to which the Lord gave no specific command, we have liberty to show humility and love. Yes, humility and love. For those people that keep some of those holy days we don't keep, that's okay. They believe they should do it. And that's okay. If they believe it, let them do it. Don't be critical. Don't throw stones at them. Let them worship the Lord the way they want to. Romans 14:9 says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. Be at peace with one another. Don't be critical. Just love them. Love them. Because the things they're celebrating, they're not sinful things. Right? Does God tell us we have to celebrate Good Friday? No. It's not essential to our salvation. Many people do celebrate it, don't they? And that's okay. If you want to celebrate it, do so. If you choose not to, that's okay too. God gives you that liberty. Now I want you to look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. I guess you might as well start keeping your finger in these two books. Chapter 2, Philippians. Chapter 2 in Philippians is a call to Christian humility. It is a call for you to die to yourself, to die to your desires, and put Christ first. That's what it's going to start talking about. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 down through verse 8. I'm going to read it all. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now, why does it say being in the form of God? Does anybody know what form God is in glory? Can anybody tell us that? No. No. We don't know exactly what His specific form is, but we know He's there, don't we? We know He's in control of all things, don't we? We know He is the Creator God of all things. He is there. We don't know exactly what He looks like, what form He's in, but He's there. Amen? So, Christ was part of that form. He was that form in glory. Before He came to earth, took on flesh, He was like the Father. Well, what was He like? We don't know. All we know is He was there with the Father, and they were alike. Amen? Can you buy into that? Good. So, being in the form of God, He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. In other words, He didn't think that they were stealing His deity away from Him, because the Father said, hey, why don't you go down to earth and sacrifice yourself for those people down there? They're not going to make it to heaven if you don't do that. If we don't do that, because it wasn't Christ alone, they were all working in concert. The Lord our God is one God. That's what the Scripture says. We just experience Him in three different ways, and that's okay. So He made Himself of no reputation, and what did He do? Became a bondservant. Do you know what a bondservant is? A bondservant is owned by someone else, some other person. They don't get to choose what they want to do. They don't get to choose what time they're going to come and go. They don't get to choose who they're going to marry. They don't get to choose if they're going to have kids or not. They don't get to choose if they have kids that they can see them. As a bondservant, you have no choices. You do what the master, your master, tells you. That's what a bondservant is. But it says here, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Listen, who was Jesus' master? God the Father. He came as a bondservant to glorify God the Father, and in essence, the whole Godhead, the full Godhead. The reputation of the full Godhead relied on what Jesus did on earth, if he was successful or not. Did you ever think about that? That's a heavy weight to carry, isn't it? So he took on the form of a bondservant and came in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself. He didn't come and say, "Hey, you can't treat me like that. I'm God. Don't you recognize me?" Not going to work. Wasn't supposed to work that way. Wasn't a choice to be had. No, he was representing all of us. He was, in everybody's eyes, a nobody. But in the eyes of the one who counts, he was everything. Everything. So he humbled himself and became obedient. Who was he obedient to? The Father, the plan of the Godhead. Really, he was obedient to the plan that the Godhead created in eternity past. Here's the plan. We're going to create humanity. They're going to be a bunch of sinners. They're not going to love us. They're not going to want to do what we say. But we're going to love them anyway. And we're going to save them. And here's how we're going to save them. Son, you're going to become a human being, a bondservant, and you're going to go into the world and you're going to give your life. Sacrifice your body, shed your blood, and it's not going to be easy. It's going to be in the worst possible way you can think. You're going to be crucified. Horrible. See, he's fulfilling the plan of God for us. For us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why we can give him an hour or two on Sunday morning. Or maybe another hour in the evening, tonight. And hey, how about Thursday? Would you come back on Thursday again and give him some more glory for what he did for us? Can we spare the time after seeing all that he spared for us? He spared nothing for us. He suffered and died for us, so we could be with him in glory one day. Amen? As Jesus humbled himself for our good, believers are called to live for the good of others. Did you realize that? Dying for Jesus doesn't mean we die on a cross or die on the mission field or die out there for some other reason. No, living for Jesus means, or dying for Jesus means, we're going to live to give his message to everybody we encounter. Did you know Jesus died for you in your place? Oh, it takes some boldness. It takes some boldness, okay? You never saw this person before. They don't know you from Adam. And you ask them the question, are you trusting in Jesus? It takes them totally by surprise. And first of all, they won't know what to do. And you'll get all kinds of answers, good, bad, and everything in between. Don't worry about it. You are called as a bondservant. Jesus bought you with his body and blood. He bought you back from eternal death. And he wants you to have eternal life. And in the meantime, he wants you to tell people about him and what he did. Give him the glory. Amen? That's what he wants. Paul uses Christ for whom we live as the ultimate example of humility. It was Christ who, being in the very form of God, emptied himself and took on the form of a bondservant. We're supposed to imitate that. Oh, we have a life, we have desires, but we're supposed to give that up and become a bondservant just to tell people about Jesus. Don't worry about going to the cross. He's not calling you for that. He's just calling you to be a mouthpiece and tell people about Him. Amen? He became obedient to God to the point of death. He was obedient to His Father for the saving of humanity. That means from Adam to whoever is the last one here. Don't forget to shut out the light. Everybody, whether they can speak English or not, that doesn't matter. Color doesn't matter. Nothing matters except, do you trust Jesus? That's it. And then become His bondservant and serve Him. Amen?
Amen.
He was obedient to the Father for the saving of humanity. It is important to note that the overarching theme of this passage, the humiliation and exaltation of Christ. That's what it's all about. Christ came to give Himself to obey the Father for our salvation. And when He did that, the Father said, I exalt you above all other names. When they talk about God, they're going to talk about Jesus now, because He did the work. He did the heavy lifting. Amen?
Amen?
He successfully submits in complete obedience to the will of God, for which the Father now highly exalts Him above all things. That's why God says that at the feet of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord over every little thing you are put off about. Every little thing that bothers you. Every little commitment that you have to fulfill that you didn't even know you were making. Oh, it's in the contract, but you didn't read it. You just signed it. It's okay. He'll bring you through all of it. What do you have to do? Call on the name of Jesus and you will
be saved.
That's not a one-time thing. That's for the rest of your life. No matter what happens, no matter what the predicament, no matter how bad it is, call on the name of Jesus. He'll bring you through. Might not turn out exactly the way you thought it would, but He'll bring you through. You know what? It'll be better than you thought it was going to be. Because that's the way He is. He doesn't just bring you through. He brings you through better than you could even imagine. Isn't that what the Scripture says? He'll do more than we can ever ask or think. Yeah, that's our God. In both Paul's citations of Isaiah 45:23... He is echoing the truth that there will come a time when every knee will bow. Every person that ever came to life on planet Earth will bow the knee. You'll either bow the knee in glory to your risen Savior, or you'll bow the knee to the judge that is sentencing you because of the things you did that you didn't give to Him. You see, you don't have to carry those things. That's what salvation is about. You repent, you give the Lord all the sin that you've been carrying around, all the sin you're responsible for, from the littlest thing to the greatest thing in your life that you are sorry about, that you did. Just give it to Him. That's what He wants. I'll make it right. It's another way to say it. Salvation is Jesus making it right so that you can bow to Him and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Can't say it enough. That's okay, you'll have eternity to practice it. This is a clear indication of what will occur in heaven after Christ reclaims creation. After Christ first came, He humbled Himself in humiliation and died a humiliating death on the cross for our sins, not His. In His second coming, He will come with His full power and glory. I'll tell you, it makes me giddy just thinking about seeing Christ in His glory. We've heard about it. I want to see it. When that happens, it'll be as our Lord Himself predicted in the Olivet Discourse. He will sit on the throne of glory. He will be sitting on the throne of glory. It's all said and done. We're in glory with the Lord. He's on the throne. Yes, we've only been able to imagine it up to that point. But then He is on the throne. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, He's going to be there. He's going to return to earth. He's going to make all things right. He's going to defeat all the evil. He's going to take us all back to glory. He's going to be on the throne. And that's where every knee will bow, every tongue confess, and swear allegiance to Jesus Christ. Even the people that can't stand His name today, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about Him. They'll even tell you that. I'll never forget the bumper sticker I saw. Don't bother me about Jesus. Yeah. Wonder if they'll be seeing that bumper sticker in eternity as they suffer endlessly. The lesson for us in the here and now is that we must heed the warning of the writer of Hebrews. You know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So He gave this to us as a warning. And it says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me for 40 years and saw what I did. Yes, that's talking about a time long ago when the Hebrews were coming out of Egypt. They were in the desert and the Lord provided everything for them, and yet they still denied Him. Are we in a desert today? We're in a desert of the spiritual desert of people denying Christ and beating you down because you believe in Jesus. Go out there, mention the name of Jesus, and see what happens. See what happens. It's a spiritual desert out there. But you, as we studied in Bible study this morning, you are the light in the darkness of that spiritual desert. You bring the light of Jesus Christ into a world that's dying. And they're not dying just for a moment. Can you imagine eternal death? You're dying and dying and dying and dying, and there's no relief. That's what we're talking about. Being without Christ in eternity is eternal death. No peace, ever. It's a scary thought. But God tested the fathers, and they reacted wrong. And He says, that's why I was angry with that generation and said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known My ways. So I declare an oath in My anger, they shall never enter My rest. Yes. It's that serious. To deny Christ, to not call on His name, is to deny His rest and sign up for an eternity of turmoil that will never end. please, please call on the name of the Lord. Trust Him. He gave Himself for you. He wants you to be with Him in glory. Amen. What is God's rest? Come to Christ. Live in Him. If we have heard and responded to the gospel, then we must live each day in light of its truth, bowing our knee to our God, doing His will by hearing and following the Holy Spirit. When you call on Jesus and He says, "Oh, you're calling on Me? I'll take you and I'll give you My Spirit to guide you." And He takes up residence in you. He saves you forever. That's in the Scripture. But those who have not responded to the gospel are called to respond today. There may be some here today that haven't made a decision. Are you going to trust Christ or not? Are you going to trust yourself? Are you going to trust something else? Are you going to trust someone else? I'm praying you'll trust Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Do not harden your heart as they did back then. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for each of us to die once." We're all going to leave this body. We're all going to die from this world. That's one death. But then there's another death, a second death. That's the death where you either go to glory or you go to hell. That's the second death. The second death is going to eternal suffering in hell. You don't have to die twice. You don't have to die twice. You can call on the name of the Lord and
be saved.
That's what the bottom line on that phrase is. Call on the Lord and be saved. You can be where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those who have responded to Christ with faith and obedient repentance will do so gladly. They'll come and be with Christ. Those who have hardened their hearts to call to the call of the gospel will do so with great fear and trembling. Yes, we're all going to stand before God. And you'll be in one of those two places. A place of fear and trembling, or a place of thanksgiving and jubilation. We all have that choice. I'm praying that you will hear God's call and do what He asks you to do as we sing. I know what He's asking you to do. He's asking you to come. That's what Jesus would say. Come. Come to Me, all you who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Ryan, would you please come? I'll give you rest. Not just for tonight, but for eternity. I'll give you rest and jubilation. But there's a question mark. The question mark is you. You're the question mark. Will you say yes to Jesus or let the time pass by? Just remember, every time you let it go and you don't make a decision, it really gets a little bit harder to make that decision the next time. And the next thing you know, you're an old man like me. And if you haven't made that decision to trust Christ, it's nearly impossible. Nearly impossible to put your pride aside and call on Jesus. Jesus said, call on Him today. Call on Me now while it's still today. Don't put it off.